We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask you to guide us as we meditate upon another section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. I pray that you open the treasures which are hidden in Scripture to us as only you can do, and give us hearts that are able to receive it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke chapter 21 this morning, verses 1 through 4, the widow's offering. So the words that the Holy Spirit puts before us this morning consist of only four short verses. And they're well known to all of us. They read this way. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. At first reading, one thing stands out clearly, and that is the center of attention here is a poor widow. In contrast to rich men who cast in large amounts of money into the treasury, she cast in only two mites, which was all that she had. In the estimation of the Son of God, she cast in more than all the rest put together. The members of the finance committee wouldn't have said that. They would have said it didn't make any difference whatsoever. It didn't pay any of the bills. Two mites? Can't buy anything with that. But the Son of God said she cast out more than all the rest. Why? Because she showed total commitment. It was all that she had. So that's clear enough. But there is more here. There is so much more here. It was not only a widow that Jesus saw and mentions. She was a poor widow. But more than that, it was a certain poor widow. But who was she? Luke doesn't tell us, but we can find out. And why did she throw in everything she had into the treasury? Luke doesn't tell us either, but we can answer that question too if we pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit and search for it as for hidden treasure. So we'll get to these questions in a few minutes. But for now, let's look at the words in this text closely. Very closely. Verse 1 starts out this way, and he looked up and saw. Son of God looked up and saw. But there's a connecting word here. The first word is the word and is a connecting word. And even though we're beginning a new chapter this morning, we're in Luke 21 now. Last week we were in Luke 20. We're starting a new chapter, but there's a connection. There's a connection. So let's follow the Holy Spirit's guidance here and take a glance back at the final words of Luke chapter 20. And as I read these things, listen very carefully and see if you can spot the connection that the Holy Spirit is making between the final words of Luke 20 and the opening words of Luke 21. Context is always very important. So now we're back in Luke 20, which we looked at last week. Starting with verse 45, final three verses of the chapter. Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples, "Beware of the scribes." And we've mentioned this over and over and over again, but let's remember these were very, very important people. These were VIPs. In our terminology, we would call them seminary professors. So beware of them. Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greeting place in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers. The same shall receive greater damnation. Do you see the connection? Widows' houses. You have widows' houses mentioned in the final verses of Luke 20. And in the opening verses of Luke 21, you have a certain poor widow. So the widows and the widow are the center of attention. And at the end of verse 20, or chapter 20, the widows' houses were being devoured by church people, the scribes. The widows' houses were being devoured by scribes. There's a lot of money involved here. A lot of money involved here. And in the opening connection and verses of Luke 21, you've got the emphasis here on two mites that the widow threw in. So widows and money were involved in both sections. Surprise, surprise. Whoever would have guessed that the scribes were robbing the widows? Who in the church? Whoever would have guessed that? Some things change so little. And they did this in the presence of the Son of God. Okay, so in the one case, there were tons of money involved. And you had a lot of money involved in the second too, but the emphasis was on the certain poor widow that had only two mites. And so they were just a pittance. And it seems that both of these scenes unfolded in the temple. And what do you think Jesus did? Notice that he looked up and saw. So he was watching. The fact of the matter is that the poor widow wasn't nearly as alone as she thought she was. And while outwardly she seemed very, very out of place, when you had the rich people throwing in tons of money, and all she had in her hand was two mites, she seemed so out of place. But it was the rich people that were out of place, and the scribes that would devour widows' houses. So it just so happens that Scripture has quite a bit to say about widows and how God cares for them and how they are viciously attacked, usually by church people, and what God's reaction was to that. So I'm going to take a little rabbit trail here and look at just a few of the verses that God speaks concerning widows. And the first one we're going to look at takes us to a deathbed, where a man is dying and he's leaving behind his children and his wife. And in the middle of a chapter that is filled with sin and corruption, this verse stands out. As the man is dying in the presence of his family, the Lord God says this: "Leave thy fatherless children. I will preserve them alive. And let thy widows trust in me." So, when a godly marriage is being ended by the one who brought it together in the first place, and takes the husband, and he looks around and sees his children and his wife, this is the comfort he has. God's going to take care of them. And it's a truth that as good a husband and father as he might have been, God is going to take care for his children and his widow a lot better than he did when he was alive. That's the pleasant truth. So, children and widows are objects of God's care and preservation. The next one, we're going out into the farmer's field. And here's what God has to do out in the farmer's field. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 24, beginning at verse 19. God talking to the farmer. "When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field..." Okay, try and picture this. There's a farmer out there, and he's walking along his field, and he's cutting down, harvesting sheaves, and he looks back and he sees he missed one. What is he going to do? He's going to go right back there and he's going to cut it down so nothing is lost. That's what he's going to do. But if he's a believer, he's not going to do that. He's going to obey God. And what did God tell him? "When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field and hast forgot a sheaf," you missed it, "in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it." Why not? "It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow." And these people were allowed by the command of God to go out and glean in the fields after the farmer had brought in the harvest. And undoubtedly, you can't get every last piece of corn or whatever. There's always some that's missed. And you don't go back and regain it. You leave it for these other people, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. A very famous widow that we know of that was out gleaning in the field was a woman called Ruth. Ruth the Moabitess. And in a very, very dangerous and difficult situation, you see how God provided for her. So we're continuing in Deuteronomy. Now we're going to verse 20. When thou beatest thine olive tree. Now here's a guy, this farmer has got olive trees. And when thou beatest the olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. And he goes through there, and obviously he misses some. You can't get all of them the first time. But you don't go back again. Why? It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And when thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. You pass through once, and that's it. Why? It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. So, you see how God takes special care of the helpless, the ones that are in the most difficult situation. And we're concerned about the widow here. This widow that went up to the treasury and threw in everything she had. Everything. Deuteronomy 26, beginning at verse 12. When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase in the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled, then shalt thou say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. Well, this was a godly farmer. There were a lot of ungodly farmers that did not obey God's command, and they did not leave some left for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. They were bean counters, we call them. I'm going to pick every single last one because it was money. Deuteronomy 27:19. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, and widow. And all the people shall say, Amen. Do you wonder how the scribes devoured widows' houses? Well, just think about it. Think about it. Here's a poor widow who's lost her husband. And the scribes attack. How would they do that? How do they do it in our own day? You can figure that out. It was easy. It was easy for them. Easy. Psalm 68, verse 5. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. So God the Father is in his holy habitation, and he's watching. He's watching. Jesus looked up and saw. He was watching. Psalm 146, verse 9, the Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But now turn this coin over. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. So there, when these scribes, and you know, the scribes should have known this, they were the professionals. We call them seminary professors. These were the guys that spent their life studying scripture and making copies of it. And then they knew this. They just didn't believe it. Knowledge is in the head and faith is in the heart. And they didn't have a good heart. But they knew how to make the big bucks. And God is watching. God is watching. Proverbs 15, verse 29. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. That's precious. Isaiah 1, verse 17. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Scribes, relieve the oppressed, not plunder them. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. And in addition to this, there are many passages in Scripture that threaten serious judgment against those who mistreat widows. And their numbers are legion. Taking advantage of the ones that are in trouble. The scribes should pay attention to this. And you notice the connection now that the Holy Spirit makes between the end of Luke chapter 20 and the beginning of Luke chapter 21, where widows are involved and scribes are involved. You see the same things happening today, by the way. Some things change so little. Now let's look at the two mites. And do a little godly thinking, praying for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because there's so much in these four verses. As we meditate upon the opening words then of Luke 21 this morning, one other question comes to mind, and Jesus tells us, for all these, and he's watching, for all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury, her poverty, hath cast in all the living that she had. And she didn't have to have a wheelbarrow to carry it all in. They fit nicely in the palm of her hand. It was only two mites. So the question would be, why would she do that? And I believe there's an answer. Luke doesn't tell us, but I believe there's an answer. One way of searching Scripture is to look back, and we're in the New Testament, right? I look back at the Old Testament and see if we can find something there that would give us a clue. In other words, can we find a place in the Old Testament where there was a certain poor widow that ended up giving away everything that she had? Is there a place like that? And if there is, let's look at it and see if the Holy Spirit gives us any further information that we might be able to apply to Luke chapter 21. And immediately we spot it, if we've got eyes that can see. And that's the widow of Zarephath, who was scraping the bottom of the barrel and had only one handful of grain left. So we look at the context of this, and the context is always very important. And we find out over and over and over again that God comes to us when we're in desperate situations. And physically speaking, humanly, are in an impossible situation. And God gives us a miracle. So we turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. And I'm starting with the first verse. And I'm going to look at quite a few of these verses because the context is so important. So Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." So we look at the Old Testament, and Elijah was a man, a prophet that was very, very, well, he was a type of the anti-type in the New Testament, which was John the Baptist. They both were men of the wilderness. They lived out in the wilderness. They dressed the same, leather garment. They ate locusts and wild honey. John the Baptist did. Elijah was fed in a little different way. But they were rugged men. And when you saw them coming, you could recognize them a mile away. They were different, rugged, wild men. And so Elijah the Tishbite, of the inhabitants of Gilead, was a rough, rough area, great wilderness, appeared to Ahab. Ahab was the worst king Israel ever had. And he was married to his godless wife, Jezebel, who incited him to do wickedness in the light of the Lord. These two were the two most wicked people in the Holy Land. And Ahab put me standing in his palace enjoying everything. All of a sudden, here comes this wild man, comes up to him and says to the king, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to my word." And he turned and walked away. And the king was dumbfounded. Here this wealthy ruler is face down by this prophet. And Ahab has no response. Probably didn't believe him anyway, because he said he was a prophet of the Lord. So the word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, saying, now Elijah's life is in danger, because the king is going to regroup. He was stunned at first, but he's going to react pretty soon, as soon as he finds out that there's no rain anymore. He's going to come after Elijah. So God, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith." Go hiding. You know, God sometimes does that. He hides prophets from godless people. He sometimes does that. That's the worst judgment he could give them. "Go by the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink water of the brook." You're going to have something to drink, even though there's no water in the land. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Ravens in the Old Testament were unclean words, unclean birds. So Elijah was being fed by unclean ravens. I had a phone call one time. Fellow pastor I was very close with. And he said, "I don't think there's enough elect in my congregation to pay my salary." And I reminded him, well, you know, Elijah was fed by unclean birds also. And sometimes God does feed his servants with unclean money, unclean people. And that's what's happening here. "And it shall be," okay. And so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. "For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank from the brook." Now what happens when the brook dries up? "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Dwell there for the rest of the famine. Behold, surprise, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. What a change of events this was. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, talk about a picture of poverty. He came to the gate of the city. Behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her. I don't know where she got water, by the way. There was a famine in the land, but God provided for her. He did. So she went to get the water, and he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Oil, always a symbol of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. There were wicked women in Jerusalem at different times that had little children, and they killed them and devoured them in order to live. She didn't. She was going to make one last cake, cut it in two, and her son were going to have one last meal together, and then they will die. And he would probably die in his mother's lap. Elijah said unto her, now here's something to remember. Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and afterwards make for thee and thy son. And we would say, well, that sounds selfish. Doesn't that sound selfish? Is that what a prophet of God would? The scribes would have done. Well, they wouldn't have asked her. They'd have stolen it from her. But see, God was commanding Elijah to do this. I have a commanded there, a woman to sustain thee. So God, and Elijah here is a type of Christ. And anyway, you know, put God first. You put God first, and he's going to take care of you. That's the point. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Here's the promise. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, till the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Okay, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she starved to death, and so did her son. No. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Okay, so notice the parallel between the two widows that we're looking at right now. Both were in desperate situations. One had only a handful of meal. The other had only two mites. Both gave away everything they had. But there was one big difference. The first widow had a promise. The second widow did not have a promise. Or did she? Remember, Jesus looked up and saw. And of course, Luke doesn't mention that Jesus gave her a promise. But you know that he did. The parallels between Elijah and the widow of Zarephath, and what we have here in Luke chapter 21, the parallels agree right on down the line. And why else would she, this widow, why else would she give up everything she had? Why would she do that? There's only one answer to that. She had a command of God, and she obeyed it. There is no other answer to this. Nothing else makes sense, but this does. And she obeyed, and we know the rest of the story. Do you think Jesus Christ allowed her to starve to death? That's not the kind of God we worship. We know that. Okay, so it's clear if you have eyes that can see and ears that can hear. She had a promise, like the widow of Zarephath did. She obeyed the promise, and the promise was kept. She obeyed the command, the promise was kept. Now, who was she? The certain poor widow. This is the first question we have. Who was the certain poor widow? And Luke doesn't tell us, but the Holy Spirit reveals something to us. If we have eyes that can see and ears that can hear, the certain poor widow was a representative person. But who did she represent? You and me. The certain poor widow is us. Consider the facts. We are all the bride of Jesus Christ. All of the elect are the bride of Jesus Christ, the very small remnant. And when we compared the context here, the very poor widow was only one person. There were many widows at the end of the previous chapter, and the scribes were robbing them of everything they had. But many widows, here we had one. And Jesus pointed to the widow of Zarephath, to his enemies. He said, you know, there were many widows in the Old Testament, but the prophet only went to one, and that's the one he was commanded to go to. So there are a lot of heathen widows too, and the devil does not treat them the same way Jesus Christ treats his. So we're looking at the one, and so in a sense we are the widow of Jesus Christ. Well, how can we say that? Well, he died. He was our husband, and he died, and we were a widow then, but he rose again from the dead. But now he ascended into heaven. So we're widows again. We're separated. Our husband is in heaven, and we're down here on this earth, the great and terrible wilderness. But he's going to take care of it. He's in heaven, and we're still here. And what do we have to offer him? Not much. But we do have something. We all have something. And what Jesus said about Mary of Bethany, she hath done what she could. And so he says the same thing to us. Just do what you can. And yes, we daily sin much. We're in a war. The good we would want to do, we don't. The evil that we don't want to do, that we do, like Paul said. But we would still do something. No matter what, you know, the idea of bloom where Christ has planted you. Every single day, do what he wants you to do. For me to live is Christ. The widow can say that. For me to live is Christ. And everything, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do it all to the honor and glory of God. And what it might not look like much, but the Lord Jesus treasures it. We're in this world, but not of it. We are powerful enemies, like the widows in Jesus' day did, the scribes, whom we call seminary professors, enemies, and they're found in the visible church. The worst enemies we have are in the visible church. not the Russians, not the Chinese, and the visible church. It's always been that way. And we live one day at a time. Remember the sparrow. And he provides for his widow. The Son of God provides for his widow. And soon, he's going to return and we'll be together again forever. And if you want the Holy Spirit to end this sermon, read the Song of Songs.